This is P.S. You're Wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love. And we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
Yes, back for the second pop culture roundup week in a row, which is a record for us, I think, at this point. Never yes, have we done this before.
Yeah. We're getting back on track, y'all. It's
However,
never too late.
We've been cursed because there's actually no news this week. Like the driest news week in the history of the world, unless we want to talk about the presidential debate, which I really want to discuss.
I can't.
Yeah. We're going to have to, sort of tell personal anecdotes about things that happened this week. Shelby, anything eventful that you'd like to use to take up some airtime?
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple important things for me personally. I'm watching The Bear right now, and I couldn't remember if you've caught up or not.
No, I have not. But I was watching all the discourse go on Twitter, and I was like, oh, wait, I actually don't need to catch up now.
Wait, what's the discourse? Or you just mean reactions?
Yeah, I mean that everybody's like, the third season of The Bear is absolutely terrible. Like,
it is not terrible. You need to follow more diverse voices on Twitter. I feel like you're in an echo chamber of very snooty gays, and I don't like it.
Which diverse group is really into this third season of The Bear?
I don't know. People who have an understanding of a slow burn, who understand that not everything needs to be like there's pleasure to be had in the journey, and it's not all about, I don't know. I haven't had any problems with this season. I definitely feel like it's probably the lower of my favorites, you know, ranking them 1 through 3. But I still think it's nice that it settled into itself and the characters are so fun and real. And I just think it's a good time and it's all set up without feeling like cheap setup. You know, it's like they know they're renewed for 4, so it's like it's almost like a to be continued, literally. I haven't finished the last episode, so don't even start with me.
Oh, okay. Well,
but I'm on the finale, and I feel like it's been fun. It's been good. It's just a lot more maybe quiet on a broad scale.
I heard that it was basically just like sort of a retread, that they're like hitting similar things that they've done before and that the season doesn't really go anywhere.
That's
and also
ridiculous.
That it's kind of sad and not funny.
You know what this reminds me is that I just feel like media literacy is dead. Like, I just feel like people, we are looking for that instant hit of loud and big, and if we don't have it, then we automatically assume it's lazy or boring or dull, and we can't just like sit in something anymore. Like just think about all the nonsense episodes we had in Lost, or how much extra stuff there was in these sitcoms we sat through, which had 28 episodes any season. And now it's like every episode has to be this thing, this moment, this event, instead of like enjoying the characters.
Look, I don't know what to tell you because I didn't watch the third season. I've just heard truly like nothing but bad things about it.
That disappoints me. I haven't been on the socials, so I don't know if my feed is better, but I love everyone in the cast. I think it's such a fun show because you can feel like the respect everyone has for one another. And I like when they take these little asides to do character episodes, you know? I love a good unstructured vibe-based journey into the sub-characters' lives.
I mean, I do as well. I do love like a bottle episode that's character specific. I can't really be making any arguments about The Bear because I have not watched this most recent season.
I want to give you hope for it.
However,
make you look forward to it.
Well, I feel like I'm sort of being pitted against you by society because this upcoming Emmys race is The Bear versus Hacks, and I am a big Hacks fan. And the third season of Hacks was the best season of Hacks,
but the second season of The Bear was absolute artistry.
Right. And those are what it's going against each other.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we'll I don't see. Know. We'll see I don't know. I, but I was going to bring up Hacks because, or I mean the bear, because yeah, I, of all of the sort of like meh reactions I saw, yeah. And I knew that you were watching it. Do you think that if the finale sort of goes nowhere, that you will feel differently about the season or no, you like the no, season better?
I've really how the enjoyed works. The journey. I think I just like, yes, I wish Carmi would go to therapy or like take a moment and realize how his mood is affecting everyone. And it does maybe feel like, you know, in the explosive finale of season two, he was like, okay, I have to be more present. And so in some ways I'm like frustrated that it seems like he's swung too far back to being a man on his own island. But I still like really like the tension there. And I think they've had so much good tiny little character moments. So I've enjoyed it. I mean, John Cena showed up and I was like, okay, yeah, like congrats guys. What a get. And Jamie Lee Curtis is in it again and she's great. And I thought that episode was really moving. And so I've just liked it. I've liked it. And I think it's partly because I've been struggling to like find a good TV show that I like, and that's on, because I feel like, again, we get into this situation where there's these 8 episode seasons and it's 3 years between each one. And so it's like twiddling my thumbs to find something in the interim that I like, but this one at least is every year. So yeah. Moving back in the right direction. Oh, yeah. And also speaking of Jamie Lee, I heard, you know, they announced that Freaky Friday is official. They like are in production.
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
I was also going to talk about that. I'm excited, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I feel like these reboots and stuff are really sort of hit and miss when it comes to if they're good or not.
Yeah.
I think that Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan are both very charismatic people. And yeah. I'm excited to see Lindsay Lohan in a movie that's not one of these like super cringy Netflix romances or yeah. her cameo in Mean Girls. Like, this feels like something that will be a little bit more substantial and better written.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so, for theaters. They made sure to say that. So that's good.
Yes. So I'm excited for that. I also saw that the other members of her girl group are coming back for the movie. So
yeah, it's truly a cast of.
So maybe we'll get husbands. Some more musical elements. Like, I don't know. Do we have any idea what the plot of it is?
She has a daughter. And the like one phrase is like, oh, it's been years. She has a daughter now. And then Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan realize that there's never too, like they need another magical moment to connect or something. I imagine it might be like a three twist at this point to involve the next generation. You
like
know,
all but- three of them switch bodies?
Yeah.
Or just Lindsay and the daughter switch bodies?
No, I'm sure they have to have
all
both
three.
the original duo switch, but I wonder if they'll also throw in the child, the daughter now. The
I could see that. Then you'd have a little situation based yeah. on your favorite I mean, movie of all time, Little.
Yeah. Well, and I'm pretty sure they did that exact storyline in that Netflix movie with oh my goodness. I'm so offended.
A Freaky Friday Netflix movie?
To her as this, but Brad Pitt's ex-wife, Jennifer Garner. Jennifer Garner had a show on Netflix.
No, Jennifer Garner was Ben Affleck's ex-wife.
Oh, okay.
Or do you mean Jennifer Aniston?
No, that's what I said. Ben Affleck's ex.
No, you said Brad Pitt's ex. And we have it on recording, so we can go back.
I'm struggling. No, Ben this is a rough Affleck's day. Ex.
Jennifer Garner.
Miss Bless
was
her
in
heart.
A movie
yeah.
where she switched movie, bodies.
Where it was a switch bodies comedy with her whole family and the dog switching places.
The dog. Oh my gosh, this sounds terrible. This is after she already did 13 on 30, where she sort of like, I guess didn't switch bodies, but a kind of another body swapping-ish. Yeah,
she switched her form.
She switched bodies with herself in a different era.
Yeah. I'm mostly curious to see Chad Michael Murray in action again. I don't know why he needed to be back, because I hope it's just in like sort of a bit comedy moment, like not as a main character. Like if she married him, I'll be like, ugh, girl, like get out of your high school sweetheart who fell in love with your mom, you know?
Maybe he'll be a cult leader like he was in the fourth season of Riverdale.
I haven't known that. Was he good? I feel like I haven't seen him since Freaky Friday, since his heyday.
He has to have been in other... Well, I know he was in Riverdale, but I'm sure he was in other things. I'm gonna go to his Wikipedia page.
Excited because Manny Jacinto, who is from The Good Place, is in that Star Wars story and everyone's realizing he's hot, is in this as supposedly the love interest. Unverified.
Oh, Chad Michael Murray was in Mother of the Bride, the Brooke Shields, Miranda Cosgrove's Netflix show that came, or movie that came out earlier this year. Did you watch that?
No.
No.
Maybe. Okay. No, I didn't.
I have never heard of any of these.
That means it must be bad, because I have very low standards.
Right. I'm well aware. A Netflix movie. Have you ever heard of The Beach House from 2018? Some sort of Andy McDowell movie?
No,
he was apparently in 14 episodes of Agent Carter, which I did not realize.
He was in
one episode of Scream Queens as Glenn Powell's older brother.
Oh wow!
He was in the Left Behind movie with Nicolas Cage. He was apparently in A Madea Christmas in 2013. So he's really been doing a lot.
He's been around.
Oh, Fruitvale Station. I guess that's the last good thing he was in as a evil cop in 2013.
Well, was he a major character?
I mean,
was he a cop?
Yeah. He was a cop in that movie. He is, I guess, fifth build. So not that major, but sort of major.
What's Creed up to? What's he doing? I feel like it's
Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
Let's investigate that, shall we?
Please.
His most recent movie was Creed 3. He has 9 upcoming projects, including an untitled Ryan Coogler / Michael B. Jordan film coming out in 2025. That appears to be his next thing. He's also in I Am Legend 2.
Oh, yeah.
And also Creed 4, which I didn't realize that we were having another one of those. And then something called Rainbow 6, which is based on a Tom Clancy novel. He's in another version of the Thomas Crown Affair. So lots of things going on.
Yeah, that's great. I'm looking forward to those more than Chad Michael Murray's return as Lindsay Lohan's love interest.
But
there has been a trend in younger dudes falling for older women. So maybe he will be Jamie Lee Curtis's love interest finally. Officially.
I would sort of like that. I think. I feel like that'd
be more
fun. I don't
think I'd like that, because again, it's such a weird power dynamic from the first film. So weird. It's definitely May December vibes if they ended up together. Yeah.
I'm sort of imagining that whatever the plot with Chad Michael Murray is, it's like, Lindsay Lohan is like going through a divorce or something, and then she rekindles her high school romance. I feel like it's that vibe.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Or he's like a washed up, peaked in high school type of dude, and she gets to realize how much better she is than him, and it's really validating.
Do you think this will be better or worse than the Rebel Wilson body, or I guess she wasn't body swapped, where she amnesia?
She was a victim.
That movie was good. I liked that. What is Rebel Wilson up to is really the question. Guess
she just wrote
things.
A book.
Oh yeah, that's right, she did.
A tell-all.
LGBT icon. Pride for Pride. Wait, Shelby, how did you celebrate Pride?
I went to the local Pride Fest with my family and my book club.
Wait, but did you take pictures? What did you wear? Did Penny wear cute rainbow things?
It was literally the hottest day. Like, it was like there was heat warnings. It was unbearably hot. So no, there is a single picture and we look like a sweaty mess, but it was a good time. It was just like a little like fair, you know.
Mm-hmm. Pride.
Penny picked out the lesbian flag, so
oh,
sorted through her sexuality so soon.
I love that energy. No wonder we're friends.
Yeah.
Me and it lesbian
indoctrinating
Penny.
Indoctrinating her from the start.
Yes.
So, yeah. We got it. We got it. But I did want to get your opinion on JoJo Siwa, because she was in the news this week, I saw, for like stopping her concert to like challenge someone who booed her and was like, hey, F you, who just booed me? F you. Like,
she was also I'm curious fireball about the vibes shots you feel. while performing. Okay. I'm sort of like a little bit skeptical if I should say this on the podcast, but I'm going to anyways. So I was hanging out this weekend with one of my friends who's trans, and she was like, oh, JoJo Siwa, the reason why she's acting this way is because she's going crazy like in her body and she's going to transition at some point. And I was like, oh, that's a hot take that I have not heard before. But and I really can't speak to that and don't really have
put it out there.
Good just... like I gaydar or whatever the term for trans people would be. But I do think that clearly she is going through some of the like post coming out, figuring out who you are chaos. I think whenever you come out, it's like you have to sort of dissect your whole previous life and figure out like which parts of that you want to keep, which parts of that you want to get rid of, what new aspects of life you want now that you're out. And it's sort of a long, I think, process that takes people a few years at the very least to sort of, you know, sort through all of those different types of identities. And I think that she is in that phase right now, and so is doing some wild kind of crazy things and will hopefully settle into herself more as time goes on and be a little bit more normal. I think that she fancies herself something like a what's the name of the girl who's in, oh, Renee Rapp, where she's kind of like, oh, like I can say things and sort of do things and, you know, call people out and it'll be like quirky and get a news headline. But somehow or another, Renee Rapp is like interesting and kind of endearing, where I feel like JoJo Siwa just comes across as annoying most of the time. And maybe that's because her whole brand is sort of being annoying, like from when she was a child. But yeah, I can't say. I think that when she came out initially, gay people were like, yes, like JoJo Siwa, yeah, like come out, like that's so cool and fun. And now we're all like, like harder to stand.
Honestly,
you because you seem sort of
like,
insufferable.
It's I find it like I'm not I find her like harmless, you know, in a way.
Oh,
because
yes,
she's just like, she's giving off that energy of like a little sister who decides like when she moves to college that she's going to be someone else, and no one allows her to forget who she was, and so she digs her heels in more, because I think like the child star of it all is kind of important, where she has been literally feeding her family since she was like 10 or whatever. And even in the way, like, I find her so mesmerizing, because the way she processed her dance mom's trauma is that she refuses to acknowledge it. She's like, no, it was never that bad. Like, yes, I cried every day, and yes, I felt bullied, and yes, I actually hated myself for most of these years, but it wasn't that bad. And like, I feel like now she's trying to just like prove that she's good, she's serious, she's tough, whereas she had been infantilized so consistently through her early adulthood. And so I find it like mesmerizing how intentionally she's trying to have this bad girl era, like Miley Cyrus circa 2010 or whatever. And it's fascinating. It's interesting to watch. I mean, she just has, I know she wants to be taken seriously so badly, but it's like, it's just so hard. Like, there's just something.
Well,
so...
you can't wear those like costumes that are sort of like you want to be Kiss, but not. Yeah. It's just like, what are you doing? What is this? And
well, you know what's the weirdest is that she's best friends with Tyler Cameron from the Bachelor franchise.
Oh, yeah.
I just like am mesmerized by this. And I think it also speaks to how she is just this like little chihuahua. Like, she's just like this little sister you want to protect. And Tyler Cameron is just like, LOL, look at this kid. Like,
I also think that speaks to just micro celebrities liking to hang out with other micro celebrities for sort of like cloudy kind of purposes. Like, not to say that they're not friends, but I think that's, you know, like the Meghan Trainor, whatever that other gay TikToker, and then Spy Kids are all like a trio. I mean, obviously Meghan Trainor is married to Spy Kids, but like, I just think that they have sort of like an entourage of celebrity-ish adjacent people. And it's kind of like, are all of these people like actually like friends, or once you kind of get famous, can you only sort of be famous with other famous people, or you're like staff members, and so they've kind of glommed onto each other? I don't know. It's very strange. Also, the weird thing with JoJo Siwa is she did her own Dance Moms show like 2 years ago, where her and her mom were like trying to, you know, judge these young girls and make them famous. And it's like, why are you doing this? Like, this clearly has had some sort of influence on your psyche. I don't know if she's in therapy or if she's talked about that at all, but it's like, we gotta up the dosage if you are. Like, let's maybe two, three times a week, I'm thinking.
Yeah, no, she's definitely like, I mean, like, this week she was wearing teddy bears like on her head and persons, like a Katy Perry, Lady Gaga inspired. I don't know. It just, it feels so try hard, and it's mesmerizing to me.
Well, Katy Perry is also back now. Or she has a new album coming out, but she's working with Dr. Luke, which it's like,
she is?
Yes. Yikes. And it's like, sell your soul to the devil, girl, but I don't think that's going to necessarily work on her intended audience, you know?
Well, the sample she released was terrible. It's like, if you're going to work with Dr. Luke, like,
give us some bops. At least
make it, like, I'm not saying she should work with Dr. Luke, never, but I'm saying at least her early stuff with him was actually good. Now it sounded so bad.
It's also just like the summer of the pop star. Yeah. And I don't know if Katy Perry has what it takes currently to beat out like a whole plethora of new hot pop star energy from like Charlie XCX and Chapel Roan and Sabrina Carpenter. And Paris Hilton has a new song coming out that I heard this past week at an event, and it was very, very good and catchy. So I'm excited for that whenever that drops. Also, I'm going to talk about this slightly later in Love It or Hate It, but Lady Gaga has something percolating, which I feel good about. So I'm like, ugh, Katie, I think you, I know you want that comeback bad, and I do feel like you sort of deserve it in some ways, but I think that this is the wrong time and the wrong way to go about it, and I think we might be getting another flop album.
Well, sadly. Yeah, I mean, the way she's been teasing it has been so cringe. Like, she was at that fashion show and wore the, like, 30-yard long train that had the lyrics on it, but she couldn't, like, get it to line up right, and so it just was folded all over itself, and it didn't work, and it was like, why would this be the place where you highlight this, and there's no fun to it? It's just very weird.
And she hasn't even released a single yet. So it's like, release the single is.
She released that terrible snippet on TikTok, got absolutely dragged for it, and then released a different snippet from it to be like, no, guys, that's not it. And it's like, well, it's part of it, you know. It's in there, and it's bad.
Ugh, yeah. Rough go for Katy Perry. Speaking of rough goes for people, the Harry Potter series that HBO is working on has released some more information. And I sort of thought when they announced this that, I mean, obviously HBO wants money, and this does feel like it, like, on paper is going to be a cash cow, even though I'm sort of skeptical of that. But I thought that this could be something that got a little trapped in development hell, but it would appear not, because they have announced the showrunner and also the, like, director for the first season stuff. And it's Mark Mylod, who directed a bunch of episodes of Game of Thrones and then also a bunch of stuff for Succession. So it's like HBO is pulling out their heavy hitters for this. Clearly they're investing a lot of money in this new Harry Potter series that's going to shoot over a decade and is going to be one season for every book and is apparently going to stay very true to the book's, you know, original plot lines. And J.K. Rowling is involved in the whole thing as an executive producer. But
I'm going to show more of the extra stuff she revealed, like how they poop and magic it away.
I just feel like the appetite for Harry Potter is dissolving. And I understand that lots of people don't care about the J.K. Rowling trans stuff. But I just think that the peak of like millennial nostalgia for Harry Potter is so past its prime. And I've seen TikToks about, you know, of tattoo artists saying that the number one type of tattoo that they're asked to remove are Harry Potter related tattoos. Like, I just think that we are maybe done with that era.
I don't think so, man.
I don't know.
There are so many hugely consumed like fan fiction still. And just look at Harry Potter World and how many people still go there and spend money. Like, I think it is a magical system and storytelling that transcends sort of just basic nostalgia. Like, it isn't like, oh my gosh, Freaky Friday, yes, what have those queens been up to? It's like literal investment in wanting to see it done right or appreciating the characters and magicalness and all of that.
Yeah, but I think that the nostalgia sort of goes against this in some ways, because I think that lots of people really, really like the movies and are going to sort of bristle at a new version. And I'm also really confused as to how they're going to do this with, it's a new version, but obviously like they're like, even in the trailer and stuff that they, or not trailer, but like teaser that they've released, it's like the same font, the same music. Like, there are certain things from the movie that are so integral to Harry Potter that it seems like they would have to change it for a new one. But then I don't know. Maybe this will do gangbusters and HBO will make tons and tons and tons of money and, you know, merch sales and whatever. But I also feel like the Fantastic Beasts like crashed and burned so horrifically that I don't know if this is the cash cow that they necessarily think it is. And I think that if it is bad at all, that could be really tough.
Well,
especially when you know they're going to spend so much money on it.
We know the story is good and we know the story does pay off. And we know there's a lot of people who like the story. Whereas Fantastic Beasts was a terrible idea.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Just completely awful. It's interesting. I'm a cynic. So, you know, I don't think it will ever, like, I think it's set up for success.
Hmm. So. Okay. Well, you heard it here first. Shelby's pro J.K. Rowling wants the series to do well.
I mean, even just look at the history.
Supposedly
of the
went to a Pride event, but took no pictures there.
No, I mean, like Mad Max. Okay, that was a movie in the 80s. We didn't grow up knowing about it or whatever. But then there was another Mad Max, and then we loved it. And then suddenly people are watching the original. So it's like,
yeah, but then the new one did terribly.
But even if it's like out of vogue or whatever, even if it's like, oh yeah, remember this old movie, like whatever, my parents are obsessed, there's always new blood, you know? So
I guess we shall see.
Yeah. But should we do Love It or Hate It?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm so excited. Can I go first?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So I watched A Family Affair on Netflix.
The Zac Efron movie.
Zac Efron.
Oh, yes, I have not watched.
Nicole Kidman and Joey King. And it's sort of like a more slapstick The Idea of You, in that Joey King works for Zac Efron, who's this major celebrity, big star, movie star. And she's his assistant. And so he treats her badly and is like, you know, an over the top, kind of hard to please boss. And she eventually quits. And when he goes to her house to like ask for her to come back, he meets her very hot mom, Nicole Kidman, and they end up hooking up. And then it becomes a sort of like battle of wills between mother and daughter for putting up with this bad, bad boss she has and has hated. And, you know, it has bad reviews, but I had a good time. I don't know if it's just my soft spot for Zac Efron, but I thought it was funny and it was fun. And he was really, you know, like he played the doofus, like major actor kid very well. And his chemistry with Nicole Kidman was very sweet. And so I think it like ran longer, whatever, but I liked it. I liked it better than The Idea of You. Sue me. Like I did. I'm just going to say that.
Right, I mean, I haven't watched it. I can't imagine a single universe where I like this more than The Idea of You, which no, I loved and stars Anne Hathaway.
You would not.
And you love Zac Efron. I do think that Zac Efron is sort of due for a little bit of a renaissance, especially after how much people loved The Iron Claw. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like I haven't really heard very much about this movie.
I know. People are haters. I mean, I just think it's fun. It's like, it's good enough. You know, it's a Netflix comedy. It's a rom-com. And I think I was surprised to like walk out of it and realize how much more poorly it's reviewed than some of these other ones we've watched, like The Hitman and The Idea of You and, you know, like even...
Well, The Idea of You was a top 10 film of the year kind of movie.
Yeah, of course. You know? But I think this does better at playing into the goofiness of, you know, celebrity. Like, it's sort of like, you know, that J-Lo movie where... But it's even more over the top where he's, like, really dumb and his biggest thing is that he misses grocery stores and, like, he's surprised to hear about the Oreo aisle and stuff. And, like, I thought it felt therapeutic for Zac Efron to do this role because, one, he got to be an over-the-top celebrity, but two, the celebrity in question was, like, a child star who rose to fame really quickly and felt like he didn't have a real family or friendship there. And, like, you know, he was struggling for connection, for a found family. And I think I could feel Zac Efron, like, really working through some of his childhood High School Musical trauma. So I loved that for him. Really, I did.
Speaking of Zac Efron, they announced the cast of The Traitors season 3 and Zac Efron's brother is on the cast. And then I was looking at pictures of him and I was like, oh my gosh, this man is like somehow hotter than Zac Efron. Like,
so beautiful.
I was just drooling.
Yeah.
The most gorgeous person I've ever witnessed. Like,
I know. There was a time where my little sister lived in the same state as him and he was he's a big outdoors guy and he's like constantly like climbing and, you know, soloing and stuff. And we were trying to get a meet.
Did they live near each other? The same state? Doesn't really, I feel like.
Yeah, but it was like, which state? It was like they were doing the same outdoorsy activities is what I mean. Like,
oh,
they were,
okay.
They were, you know, chasing the same highs. And I was like, gotcha. Okay, we got to stalk them a little bit so that this can happen.
Right. But you didn't pull it off. Yeah, well,
too bad. Because he's
maybe I'll get to interview him.
That'd be exciting. So.
Do we think he's gay at all?
I don't. Ugh. No.
Damn it.
Maybe.
Okay, well, excited for that nonetheless. More excited for Traitor season 3 than I am for this Zac Efron movie. Also, imagine Zac Efron being the ugly member of your family. Like, just think about that for a second.
Shocking.
Like, some people get all the good genes. And fortunately, it was not me.
Split it up, yeah.
Yeah. I would like to talk about the Chromatica movie, which I have not got to speak about on the podcast. And also just Lady Gaga in general at the moment, because I think there's a lot of things happening. But the Chromatica Ball movie came out, the documentary. It is more like the Taylor Swift one than the Beyonce one. There's really no like behind the scenes stuff. It's pretty like straightforward, just the concert movie. I am like still very impressed by her singing and dancing abilities, and I had sort of bad seats to that concert, so it was fun to watch it all kind of up close rather than from 9 million miles away. And yeah, I liked it. I thought that the concert was good. Obviously love all of her music, but I think that it came out sort of at a weird time because it's so long after the concert, you know, like the Taylor Swift one came out in the middle of the tour. The Beyonce one came out towards, you know, like only a couple months after the tour. And the Chromatica tour was back in 2021, 2022.
Yeah, I was confused when I saw this pop up.
Right. So it was really confusing. Like, why? Like, why were they sitting on this footage? Like, clearly it didn't take this long to edit. Like, what is going on? But the end of the documentary, there is a quick little scene where it's like Lady Gaga 7 coming soon, talking about her new album. And then she's just been doing another stint of her residency in Las Vegas. And she's been posting a lot of stuff in sort of a new style for her that I think must be the kind of style of the new album. She said that it's not a rock album. She's just been a lot of places and has been doing a lot of things and posting a lot of things. And she's also talked sort of all last spring about how she's been working on music and she's really happy about it. So I feel like something big is coming soon, and that the release, that I kind of feel like she's just going to drop it at some point.
This is just you manifesting.
This is me manifesting, but I mean, the album is coming soon. I think the album is coming out this year at some point, but I think she needs to kind of drop it. I think that once she finishes up the Vegas residency, then it's going to drop. Then she'll have a couple of months to do like promotion for that before she switches to do Joker promotion in the fall. So I think that the album needs to come out sometime this summer.
That's math. You did
That's me manifesting.
You cracked it.
Because otherwise, is she going to release the album at the same time as Joker and have to do press for both? Like, theoretically, she gets, you know, it's like an awards contender. They are definitely thinking about it that way. Speaking to the last Joker movie, won a bunch of Oscars, and both of her last two movie performances, you know, got a lot of awards attention, which means that she could be on the road doing press and stuff from like October to March.
Heaven help
so
us.
I think that she has to release the album before that. So
yeah, maybe excited. She knows that the Joker sequel is so bad. She wants this album to distract from it.
Shelby, we need the Joker sequel to be at least halfway good so that we can get her on the Actors on Actors roundtable talking about Lord knows what.
I
love her. She is one of the greatest blessings that we have when it comes to a press cycle. Like, she just gives so much. Like, who is another celebrity who's delivering as much as she is?
I mean,
like,
she gives the same story over and over. So,
well, she does, but she doesn't, because the 99, there's 100 people in the room is a famous quote, and she did say that too many times. But we also had the story about how she thought that the woman was sending flies to attack her on the set of House of Gucci. There's the prop wine story. There's the story about how she thought that the lady was going to try to kill her, and she was like afraid for her life because she was getting out of prison. Like, she's just doing so much. Yeah. I love it. And then we are going to have whatever songs come with Joker too.
Oh wow, yeah, I can't wait. I'm so looking forward to it.
You are so rude and full of hate.
No, I'm saying what? I Who cannot imagine Joker themed music being something I'm excited for.
Well, one, Joker is not, it's not new music, even though it's a musical, so it's going to like a jukebox musical, so it's just going to be Lady Gaga singing songs we already know. I mean, potentially, but then, but I would imagine that she has to be doing at least one original song for the movie, like even if it's just a credit scene, and hopefully that will be good, but who knows, maybe they optioned a Taylor Swift song, you know?
Oh my God.
Maybe it's Gaga and the Joker singing me while they're on the stairs. Ever think about that?
That would be honestly iconic. I think you would like that, and I think I would like it too. So,
which Taylor Swift song do you think they're most likely to add into a Joker musical?
Joker musical. I mean,
I feel like Bad Blood could be a contender.
No, that's too it's too twee. It's barely anything. It's veiled in its threats. It's nothing. It's like, oh, boo-hoo.
I guess she does have meaner songs than that. Like, yeah, this is why we can't have nice things.
It just had to be something vicious. Something like, I don't know. I'd have to think about it. I mean, obviously there's all her, like The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived. Like, any of her Matty Healy songs are pretty good.
They're not picking something off of. It has to be a hit. They're not picking something off of. What's her last album called? The Bad One?
maybe Harley Quinn is like going through it and can sing, you know, All Too Well. That's a classic.
The 10-minute version of All Too Well in the middle of the Joker movie. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe that
Haunted.
Has to.
Haunted's a good one.
I'm like, you're going to need to Photoshop that. Photoshop the Joker with the red scarf for our Instagram this week.
Yeah.
Photograph Lady Gaga on Sadie Sink's body.
Yeah. Oh, well, luckily we don't have to think about the Joker for a while, but we do get to talk about A Quiet Place, A Quiet Place prequel.
So. Yes, A Quiet Place Day One.
I'm very excited for that.
I am also very excited about it. It was not the movie that I thought it was going to be or that the trailers told me it would be, and for better and for worse. So I have a lot to say about
to unpack. Yeah.
Quiet Place Day One.
Ooh. Yeah, no, it'll be good.
But we'll be back on Thursday to discuss that. Yeah. Anything else we have to cover? No. I feel like we're wrapped up.
That's it.
Okay.
You're done.
Well, we'll be back on Thursday. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.